Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Lord's House on this Independence Day Sunday. As always, please take a few seconds to sign a friendship register at the end of each pew closest to the center aisle and then pass it along to those seated next to you. And please take a look at the announcements inside your bulletin to learn about the food pantry needs, the school supply collection, and other upcoming activities here in our fellowship at Berry Christian Church. You'll also see information about VBS. That's shorthand for Vacation Bible School, and that will be taking place next week from Monday, July 11th through Friday, July 15th. If you've not yet signed up your children or grandchildren, we still have plenty of openings. We serve children from age 3-ish to 5th grade. And 1 week from today, which is Sunday, July 10th, we will be decorating the church in preparation for VBS, and we could use some help with that. Also, we need a few more volunteers for the week of VBS. There's a sign-up sheet on a table back in the foyer, or you may visit with Kathy Connell if you're interested in fulfilling a role that week. You'll also find inside your bulletin registration information for the golf tournament that supports the Northland Assistance Center. The tournament is scheduled for Saturday, July 30th, and last I heard, we still had openings for four golfers from Berry Christian Church. There's also a card shower for Betty Foster's 90th birthday on July 14th. And please note the birthday celebration for Art and Janet Kinder has been rescheduled for Saturday, July 30th. Please also note that the church office will be closed tomorrow, July 4th, for the Independence Day holiday. And we hope that each of you has a happy and safe Independence Day holiday tomorrow. All right, and now a word from our sponsor. Bob Knopf has a minute for mission.
Of course, you probably noticed my wife's not here today, and we have moments for mission, so I had my friend Lana make some notes for the outreach. And then I took them and just put them in my computer and it came out like this. Aren't you lucky? So, thank you for giving every month. We give 10% to our outreach organizations that help people in need. Last month, we had $2,557 to work with. First of all, we gave $866 to our Disciples of Missions Fund, $433 to Northland Assistance, and $433 to Clay County Clothes Closet, and $433 to Family Promise. Also, North Star Baby Grace got $429. There's other offerings too. There's $50 for the Pastoral Fund, $7 for the troops, and $100 for two golfers in our annual North Land Assistant Golf Tournament. All this help from your generosity giving. For our mission here at Berry is to honor God, give others, and seek our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for making this possible. From the Outreach Committee, we thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Freedom is what we have. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves of sin again. The Spirit has given us life. We'll now sing all stanzas of number 192, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
we bow in a moment of prayer. Loving God, as we gather here in your house on this day before our country's Independence Day, we reflect upon our freedoms. We are free to express ourselves with our freedom of speech, and we are free to worship here in this place with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. We are free to live our lives in a society that values our individual contributions and that also recognizes our need to care for those who struggle with health, food, or means of support. We are thankful for both the ability to provide food and shelter for ourselves and our families, and we are especially thankful for the privilege to share our good fortune with others who are just as deserving of your unconditional love. O God, we welcome now the presence of the Holy Spirit, the counselor and guide who reminds us of Jesus' teachings. May we feel his loving presence as we begin our worship service together. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, a number of folks to remember. Please lift up Debbie Buzinski in your prayers as she is back at North Kansas City Hospital having some health concerns that continue to prevail for her. And we also lift up Larry Pitts. You know, he had that very extensive surgery back on the 13th of May. He's been at home and striving to recover through all of that. But he also is going to begin radiation treatments starting on Tuesday of this week, and that'll last 5 to 6 weeks. Again, he normally would be here at the 8:30 service with us if he hadn't been dealing with so much of a health concern here. So please keep him in your prayers. We are so delighted that Dolly is here with us this morning. I thought I saw Dolly. There you are. Wait, you're off in another corner there, Dolly. Bless you. Good to see you. We keep you in prayer. And also, Susan Hanks has tested positive for the coronavirus, so she's at home. Everybody else who had been dealing with the virus the last couple of weeks, all are making good progress out of it. And so we're certainly very grateful for that. And also, we want to lift up Lois Berry at Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation, although that should be a brief visit. We have a number of people that are at home in rehabilitation. I've been lifting up their names for several weeks. And everybody else is the folks we've been lifting up now for some time. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise as we assemble in your house of worship this Independence Day Sunday. As we mark yet another anniversary in which we are privileged to be a sovereign and self-governed people, we recognize that by your grace and by the destiny of circumstances that we have been given the unique freedoms that are truly distinctive from many people on earth. And although we often struggle with fairness and equality, may we continue to strive to be a nation that Abraham Lincoln said in his address at Gettysburg is a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all are created equal. And even as we often fall short in our endeavors to honor you, O God, may we always be most grateful for the freedoms we enjoy, chief among them being the privilege to worship you freely, based upon the propositions of our varied faiths and without fear of disruption or reprisal. And as we journey through the task of our daily living, may the freedoms we enjoy not make us lazy or complacent, but rather may our freedoms inspire us to work toward greater tasks of compassion, generosity, and consideration of others, so that collectively we may enrich the lives of one and all. And may our hearts and spirits be forever lifted high as we truly recognize that Christ our Lord has already given us the greatest freedom, the freedom from sin and damnation. And as we embark upon this 4th of July week, may each of us profess a great shout of thanksgiving as we remember the text of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul declares, "Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people." We offer this prayer in thanksgiving as we recite together the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The storm clouds gather far across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my
The preamble to the Constitution says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." The beginning portion of the leading document that governs this nation strives to form a more perfect union, to seek justice, domestic tranquility, a common defense, and liberty for ourselves and for our future generations, and then proceeds to spell out the endeavors of law and order that were designed to accomplish these ideals. It is a tall order to which we aspire, yet it is one attainable so long as we are willing to work toward the common good for one and all, we the people. What is interesting is to realize that such aspirations are not so far flung from the aspirations engendered to us by the hand of the Almighty and immortalized by the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. For even Jesus said of himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This we celebrate as we prepare to receive the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper. As we turn to our communion hymn number 195, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please, of "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ken leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, as we accept this communion, looking into our hearts and life, know that we've accepted you. We'll always be grateful for you, your love, and giving us strength in times of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. In Galatians 5, the text tells us, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' Giving of our resources for the benefit of others is surely one of the ways that we love our neighbors, as Roxy offers a word of prayer and we receive this morning's tithes and offerings." Thank you, Roxy.
Our Heavenly Father, bless these tithes and offerings we are about to receive. Help us to use them to better serve you and our community. Bless our church and our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Here we are looking this morning at the text from Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 16 through 23. The Apostle Paul is always trying to use reason to convince the listeners of his letters to consider the ways of God through Christ in various propositions. And here, the gist of it is what he's trying to say is, you know, everybody's going to be serving something or someone somehow. But rather than being servants of sinfulness, how about being servants of the righteousness of God in Christ? So I read to you beginning with verse 16. "Surely you know," says Paul, "that when you surrender yourselves as slaves to obey someone, you are in fact the slaves of the master you obey, either of sin, which results in death, or of obedience, which results in being put right with God. For though at one time you were slaves of sin, you have obeyed with all your heart the truths found in the teachings you received. You were set free from sin and became the slaves of righteousness. At one time you surrendered yourselves entirely as slaves to impurity and wickedness for wicked purposes. In the same way, you must now surrender yourselves entirely as slaves of righteousness for holy purposes. When you were the slaves of sin, you were freed from righteousness. And what did that gain you from doing the things that you are now ashamed of? The result of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and are the slaves of God. Your gain is a life fully dedicated to Him, and the result is eternal life. For sin pays its wage, death. But God's free gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus our Lord." May we pray. Merciful and loving God, for freedom from sin afforded to us by your great grace and the sacrifice Christ made as our Savior, we give you praise, as we are privileged to live out our civic and spiritual independence by being a responsible citizen that serves others. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. As we worship God on this Sunday morning before Independence Day, we celebrate our civic independence as well as our spiritual independence, as we are privileged to enjoy immense liberties. But may we also recognize that such liberties have come at great sacrifice, and both are maintained only as a citizenship is willing to be responsible. Concerning, for example, our civic independence, we know that for the first independence commemoration in 1776, as 56 delegates put their signatures on the Declaration of Independence that proclaimed liberty for the 13 colonies from the tyranny of British monarchy, these people were also putting their lives on the line. Five signers were captured by the British, marked as traitors, and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost sons during the Revolutionary War, while another signer had 2 sons captured during the war. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship during the war. And yet after the war, several of those same 56 signers went on to formulate the governing documents of a new nation. And they knew that civic independence would require a responsible citizenship. And responsible citizenship would not be freedom to do as one pleases. That would be anarchy. Responsible citizenship needed to be centered upon each citizen's willingness to govern oneself based on mutually agreed morals and values. And that's the important part. Mutually agreed morals and values. But where would mutually upheld morals and values come from, they must have thought? From thin air? Or from whatever was a part of one's consciousness? No, these founding fathers knew that the education of citizens was a key to responsible citizenship, and that this education needed to be based upon sound religious and moral teachings. And to guide this nation, our founding fathers created 4 documents that are actually called the 4 organic laws: the Federalist Papers, the Declaration of Independence, and then the Constitution of the United States. But they also created an often forgotten 4th document, the Northwest Ordinance. What many citizens don't know is that Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, that was created in August of 1789, states, "Religion, morality, and knowledge, being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall be forever encouraged." Now, certainly also here in the United States, people were coming from so many different parts of Europe at that time, coming over into the colonies, and so there's a vast diversity of people and values and the like, and many people in that time period were not very well educated at all. Many couldn't even read and write. And yet our founders knew that to be a responsible citizenship, we had to have educated citizenship, because how else can you have guidelines that can be mutually agreed upon and followed, you see? But notice,
That document was saying religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government, which one is named first? Religion. A clear indicator that our founders believed that religion informed morality, and religion and sound moral teachings informed the knowledge that made good citizens. George Washington, in his farewell address as the first president of the United States, stated in 1796, "Of all the habits and dispositions which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable proponents. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion." From 1690 to 1930, a first grade textbook was published and distributed throughout the American classrooms. It was titled The New England Primer, an essay and pleasant guide to the art of reading, to which is added the catechism. Long title, for sure. But for 240 years, this textbook used the content of the Bible to teach first graders how to read, while also teaching moral values based on biblical teachings. A non-believer, for example, may tell a child, "Treat your friend like you'd like to be treated." But yet we know from Scripture, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39 says, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." A non-believer may tell a child, "Well, you do what's right." Yet we remember that this teaching came from James chapter 4, verse 17. "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." And on we could go with various moral teachings. But we must understand many of them have their founding and origin and grounding in biblical teachings. So as the early founding fathers of this nation realized that responsible citizenship was based first and foremost on sound religious and moral teachings, surely citizens of our nation, even today, could benefit from believing the same. But what about our spiritual independence? Certainly that which comes forth for us from what Christ has done for us, and certainly the teachings of the Apostle Paul. We know that this independence is afforded to us by the grace of God and is preserved by the mindset and behaviors of responsible spiritual citizenship. In our scripture reading for this morning, the Apostle Paul tells the Christian believers in Rome in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, "When you surrender yourselves as slaves to obey someone, you are in fact the slaves of the master you obey." Paul uses the imagery of slavery here because it would have been so very familiar to his audience. Many of those listening to his letter were likely outright slaves or indentured servants, as about 40% of the population of Rome, and indeed all of Italy, were either slaves or indentured servants. Paul takes this very real civic predicament imposed upon so many people and gives it a spiritual emphasis. Paul tells his listeners that they live in a kind of spiritual slavery when they are held in the bondages of their sinful nature. And Paul is rather harsh as he tells followers in Galatia that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Surely in our day and time, we also know what it is like to be bound up in the slavery of evil and immoral ways. Lies lead to deceit. Thievery leads to deeper criminal behavior. Immorality leads to distrust, alienation, and abandonment. We become entombed in the misery of our own sinful, disgusting lives, and we can find ourselves miserable and alienated from anyone who would wish to care about us or love us. But Paul tells us that when we align ourselves with God in Christ through repentance and our confession of faith, we are freed from sin and we are given the privilege to serve a righteous God. As verses 17 and 18 state, "Thanks be to God, for though at one time you were slaves to sin, you have obeyed with all your heart the truths found in the teachings you have received. You were set free from sin, and you now become the servants of righteousness." The freedom from sin that God in Christ offers us thus gives us an opportunity to joyfully live lives that honor God and serve others. As Paul states in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, "Now you have been set free from sin, and you are the servants of God. Your gain is a life fully dedicated to God, and the result for you is eternal life." And as Paul also said earlier in the same letter to the Christians there in Rome, "We are afforded a citizenship of heaven, even while we continue to reside here on earth, and it gives us an immense peace of mind." As Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2 state, "Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live, and so we boast of the hope we have of sharing in God's glory." So you see, on this Independence Day Sunday, because of the sacrifices made by others, we are indeed privileged to live with immense freedoms in both a civic and also of a spiritual nature. A well-educated, civic-minded citizenship that is grounded and sound moral principles guided by biblical and religious teachings, it is a citizenship that can be trusted and one that can live in peace and harmony. A spiritually minded citizenship, freed from the vices of sinful behavior, is compelled to honor God and to serve others. The question that remains for you and for me each and every day is this: will we honor the sacrifices of our nation's founders and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ by living out our freedoms with civic dignity and responsibility and spiritual praise and honor to God as we serve others? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." The sign outside, freedom in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed and you can live that life of celebration for what Christ has done for you. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 721. "O beautiful for spacious skies," may we sing all three stanzas, please.
Above the free.
For being in the Lord's house this morning, and we wish you the very best as you continue the journey of this Independence Day weekend, and especially if you're privileged to have the day off tomorrow. We hope indeed it's a joyful time for you and with whomever you may be celebrating. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, we give thanks for the freedoms that we can appreciate and enjoy every day, and may we indeed honor the blessing of those freedoms and the way we live our lives day by day. Guide us as we depart, and in Christ's name we give you thanks for the privilege to worship you this day. Amen.